We have an interesting lesson this morning that may be wonderful and it may not be. Just depends on where you are at the time. When we look at God, we most often see Him portrayed as the God of love. Would you say that's true? Because the Scriptures speak of His love, so many times in the Bible, it's just everywhere. Here is a truth, however. By the way, the title for this, for those of you who are titled people, Can God Hate? We must realize that God cannot permit or condone sin in any size, shape, fashion, or in any place or any time. Would you agree that's true? God doesn't do that. No, you could never get God hating. Oh, you're wrong. God hates sin and sinful ways in His human family, whether He sees it in the covenant or the non-covenant people of the world. God's watching. King Solomon was billed out to be the wisest man to ever be king over God's people. In Proverbs 6:16-19, he penned these words long ago under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if these words came by the Spirit of God, it's good stuff, and it's right. It's not to be chopped up and, well, we think God meant to say this. I will never get to a point when God tells us something that I change my mind and say, well, I think we ought to do this. God will smite you. And I don't want you doing it, especially if you're standing by me. There are six things the Lord hates. Proverbs 6:16-19. Seven that are detestable to Him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes. Do you know in the last year there are people that are discouraging people from the Church of Christ and pulling them away into other expressions of faith? And it's hurting all over this nation in our expressions of faith. If you look in this room from 2 years ago, it's a testimony, isn't it? Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Do those things happen in churches? We have at a couple of times in our time together, and we've been here, you know, I've been here longer than dirt, and some of y'all were here before I was around, but I remember when things were being torn down in this church, and it was bad, and I hope we never have that again, ever, because somebody is not going to be as easy on everything next time. This could very well be helpful to us if we proceed through life with a greater awareness that God hates. God actually hates stuff. God hates sin. Yes or no? God hates sinful ways. Yes or no? Yeah. God hates haughty eyes. Haughty eyes are spoken in the Bible to refer a person who has the attitude of being proud or arrogant. I'm going to tell you, I always wanted to be a genius. I grew up in a very difficult time I wasn't a happy kid at all and had a lot of stuff going. But I can tell you this, there are people who hurt you. There are people who take your joy away and strip it from you. To this point, beautifully illustrated to us is a parable of Jesus, which we need to take the time to see. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. Now, isn't it true that this was all the way back in the Bible time? You know they never gave up that tax thing. You still got that. Just to tell you, Jesus had tax problems with his bunch, I'm sure. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Now, I'm going to tell you that. You've got some of that in the church. Not necessarily here, but it's around. God, I thank you I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I have. But the tax collector, he takes a different approach. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know where we ought to be right now? God, be merciful on me. This is the way God sees it. I tell you that this man, rather than the others, went home justified. What does justified mean? Just as if I'd never sinned. For all of those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It was Solomon who said in Proverbs 16, 17, and 19, the highway of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their ways preserve their lives. And then he says in verse 18, you've heard this many times, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, after that verse, says this, it is better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. God hates some stuff. If you and I want to please God, then we're called by Him to be people of humility. If you do this humility and you don't keep it right, we need to understand this. God hates a lying tongue. Our word has gravitated to the point that men and women think that they can say anything they want and that God doesn't care what they say as long as He keeps him out of trouble. There's no day when this kind of behavior can come and be with us to be true, for it's certainly no reflection of God. Throughout all of the ages of the human behavior, can this kind of stuff be true, for it's certainly no reflection of God. Is it true that we are to be reflections of God? Is that part of what we do and who we are? Throughout all the ages of human family, God has never been deceptive the first time to man, nor can He tolerate man being a deceptive creature. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 6, records for God's feeling about deception here is coming out. In Acts 5, 1 through 6, a man named Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart and you have lied to the Holy Spirit and you have kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before you sold it? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and he died. And a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that's the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." Does that sound like God is wimpy? Can God hate something? And will He act on it? Has He done it before? At that moment, she fell down at His feet and died. And the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, buried her beside her husband. Now watch what happened. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these things. Do you know if you could bury all the liars in the world, you would be in a pristine environment? Ananias and Sapphira were killed on the spot for their deception before God. God made an example of these people right here before the whole church, and He proves that He hates that kind of behavior. Judas is known as the prime example of one whose hands shed innocent blood. Actually, Judas never laid his hands on Jesus to take his life, but take his life he did. He made it work. Luke 22, 1-6, "Now at the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priest and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then sin entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priest and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He considered and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when there was no crowd present." Well, listen. Did that sneak up on God? No. Did God know before the beginning of time that Judas would do that? You don't slip up on God. Judas is a prime example whose hands shed innocent blood. That's not made up. Judas is known as the prime example of that. One whose hands shed innocent blood. In Luke 22, 1-6, at the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priest and the teachers of the law were looking for someone to get rid of Jesus, and they were afraid of the people. Satan entered Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, and the chief priest, and all of that, and they took him down. Just go read the text. It's all there. They were messing with Jesus. Let me ask you this. If God works to do something with us, we need to give Him a wide berth and let Him have open hands and not throttle it back. Just like people often do today, Judas sold Jesus out just for a few coins. How much could we get for Alan? How much could we get for anybody here? I don't want to be in the middle of choosing who will live and die. I don't want that to be my life. I have a theory, but I can't prove it. I don't believe that Judas thought this thing out. You know, well, I'll give y'all some money and you give it to the big boys up there. They'll whoop him a little bit and then they'll let him go and we're going to come up with some money. He thought that his plot would never come down to death, but rather he could sell Jesus out and Jesus would not allow by his own power to let the killers make their move. In Judas's mind, he could collect money, give them information, and Jesus would thwart their plans and continue to live, and giving the disciples, especially himself, a few more bucks in their pocket. It all comes down to money. And do you know, in businesses today, it's all just like that. Who can slip money under here and under here and all of that? Taking the life of another has been hated in God's sight since the beginning of when Cain slew his brother Abel. And the world went into such a downward spiral that by chapter 6, God destroyed the whole world with water. God washed the world down, yes or no? Let me ask you a question. Did God move? Did He go somewhere? Or is He still right where He was? Does He have any power anymore? Or does He have as much power as He always had? When you deal with biblical texts like this, you're dealing with what God put, not what I do. You can shake me all day long, and you can't do from me what you can do from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is on our side. The Lord saw in Genesis 6:5-8, great wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that He had made the human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals and the birds and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret I have made them. You think that God hated He had to do all of that? There's no day in God's existence that He tolerates that kind of activity. There's a principle of God that needs to be heard and understood. Sin must be paid for or forgiven. That's the only option we have. Do you know that? That's the only option we have. Now we know who's holding, yes or no, in the balance of things. You can't fix this yourself. You don't have the power because you don't have His power. Sin must be paid for or it must be forgiven. In the case of our redemption, God did exactly that. Our forgiveness came through the agency of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, when He paid for our sins by His own life blood. God hates a heart that devises wicked schemes. Goes on every day all over the world. Our great God created this world, filled it with people who plan and scheme in order to hurt, someone else. Their days are spent anxiously awaiting the right time to come along that they might enforce their plan. That's just like jumping on something. A man's priorities in his life are wrong, and he or she has missed his whole purpose of being on God's earth if the priorities are wrong. God won't tolerate a practice of planned out sin in any person's life, no matter who they are, whether they're he or she. It makes no difference. Matthew says in 5:21-26, if you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who's angry with their brother or sister shall be subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to their brother or sister, Reka. Reka is a cuss word, by the way, in your Bible. And it's answerable in court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister is something against you, you get up, leave your gift in front of the altar, and go first to reconcile to them, and then come back and give your offering. Settle matters quickly, your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out till you paid the last penny. Have you heard in 5:27 of Matthew, that it was said, you shall not commit adultery? But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in her heart. And your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. God has done everything we need to see and hear and to prevent a heart that devises wicked schemes. You seeing that God hates stuff? God hates feet that are quick to rush to evil. I heard a man one time discussing this, and I wrote it down when he was discussing it. He had a situation like this and had a problem, and what he called it, and everybody wrote it down, was hoof and mouth disease. You know what hoof and mouth disease is? It's when you hoof off and mouth off to somebody else something you really don't understand. And many people have been hurt by the hoof and mouth disease. You think that's true? The gossiper, there's a sort of sick self-esteem in making others look bad. We need to ask questions like, is this true? That's a good question. Is it necessary? Depending on the situation, it could be yes or no. Would God approve me of saying this? There you go. You're taking your own test. So we have to constantly remember that God wants something for the community, and He wants these people themselves to come up to the understanding that God's watching you, what you're doing. This happens when you know what you do and you choose not to do things, and it makes things bad. Sin is its own punishment, eating us alive from the inside out. God hates a false witness. Do you have false witnesses in courts of law? Yeah. Can people pay people enough money to make it a false witness? Do you think God didn't check that out? Would God remember if you forgot? God hates a false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in a community. I have seen that. Okay. Are y'all pretty up on God hates? Do you know much as we've done already, we've got that much more? Would you like to break it and do the other part next week? You good with that, everybody? And the church said, Amen.